Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Another great show for you today, my friend. Mark Russell with us in the second hour, bringing his musical offerings. You're going to love it. Vincent Hunt is bringing us up to date on all things Creators Camp. And I've got Mark Anthony Weeks talking about a neat little happy app. You're going to love learning about that. Miriam Dady's got another guest in the business spotlight, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
So here we are again with this opportunity we have each week to bring you the latest, greatest, neatest stuff from very cool people doing very cool things. That's kind of how we roll around here. More beauty, less bully, we like to say, because it's all about the conversations that we have with very conversant folks, people like Vincent Hunt and Mark Russell. Those two gentlemen will be with us through this next 2 hours. Vincent, as you well know by now, celebrated innovator. In many cases, he really outshines himself. Is that possible? He just seems to outdo even my expectations. And I know this guy pretty well. And he's known as an innovator, creator, implementer, visionary, luminary, mercenary. He has all of these things going on, and all of that being focused on the creation of opportunities, especially for those young folks among us, students who now are beginning to discover their own talents and abilities and inclinations, and or at what Vincent will call their DNA, their germ, their thing that has been placed there on tap for them to discover. Well, Creators Camp is Vincent's work and the work of those allied with him, designed to bring that forward, to bring forward within that individual in a collective manner, meaning among other students, what it is that they get excited about, what it is that they're leaning toward, what is it that they're gifted at doing, those skills that they can begin to implement, natural proclivities, we'd say, that can be then honed and developed. And so he puts them in front of all kinds of resources. And, you know, so far we've seen some pretty remarkable things, whether they're coding, writing code for an app, or if they're building a computer or doing artwork, or however they are moved. One guy is involved in building tanks. So we have Vincent with us here in this first hour to bring us up to date on the Creators Camp phenomenon. And he's brought with him a couple of his associates. These are folks referred to as cohort builders. Cohort builders are those who are moderators, facilitators of these smaller groups, subsets of Creators Camp, maybe, you know, 5, maybe 6, 7, 10 kids that as cohorts, they work with one another. They collaborate. They share ideas, and they reveal for one another the things that they find most interesting that they are working on and applying themselves to. So the cohort builder is that person who sits in then to facilitate that whole process. So we got a couple of those folks along with Vincent talking with us about Creators Camp, which, by the way, if you haven't done this, it's a simple thing to do. You can Google Creators Camp. But in fact, let me do that with you as we're talking, so I'm not lying to you. Let me see here. Creators. Oh, yeah. Creators.camp. Come on, folks. Even I can do this. Creators.camp. If you just put that in the URL field of your browser, guess what? It brings up this really cool-looking website, and you learn about not just Creators Camp, but Massive Corporation, which Vincent founded in order to foster these kinds of works. Creators Camp is just the beginning, I think, for Massive Corporation. And already he's got satellite installations of Creators Camp in Indiana, up there in Valdosta. So, goodness, this is going nationwide, folks. He's in Indianapolis. He's in Valdosta, Georgia. Creators Camp isn't just a Tallahassee thing, clearly. And it's not just a supplement. It is in and of itself a different way, a revolutionary way, I think Vincent will say, of engaging people in the future, because they're building for themselves a future that yet does not exist. They're being created, they're being curated, they're being focused on opportunities that don't even exist yet. It's like getting job training for something that you don't even know is out there, because it doesn't exist yet, but it will. Does that make sense? So you're aiming for the moon. Well, that trajectory is fairly extended, and the timing is such, and the planning is such, that as that journey progresses, your skills as a young person continue to grow and develop. Your discoveries continue to emerge. And those opportunities that are yet untapped, those jobs that don't yet exist, come about just at the time when your particular skills and talents are needed most. It's a very interesting prospect. And I think it is revolutionary. Imagine that, in Vincent's words, you know, that Shakespeare came upon the scene at a time when Shakespeare's writing was needed most, or Albert Einstein at a time when the world needed Einstein, or Disney at a time when Disney was needed most. So who are those people that are growing up now and coming into their own now that will fill out that future ahead of us? Marvelous consideration. Vincent Hunt, Creators Camp, that's what's going on. Now, also around town, I should bring to your attention the work being done in a very creative way with the Center of Tallahassee. And they have been granted their certificate of occupancy. This is a big deal. Because, after all, Alex, the guy who is the guy behind all this, Alex Black, Alex Baker, I think is his name, yeah. So he is the guy who has, for the number of months we've been watching this happen, worked and worked and worked, and his company, Blackwater, out of Birmingham, they have been investing, golly, a sizable amount of dough to bring about this marvelous contribution. So finally the city has said, yeah, okay, it's a go. And with that, you're going to see more and more installation. We've already got Dreamland barbecue going on out there. I know Rick has been to Dreamland, I think, just about every day, pretty much. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah, Rick Oppenheim, our local foodie who keeps us informed of all the new restaurants. God bless you, Rick. And thanks for listening. So Dreamland is in play, and no doubt there are many other contributions that will come online when the center of Tallahassee hits its full stride, not the least of which is this fantastic amphitheater. So you're going to have a lot of music coming on through the summer. We'll keep you informed on that stuff. Here's another note. Tallahassee Community College has recently received three separate major gifts, including one with a value of $1 million. All three gifts are part of the TCC Foundation's TCC We Rise campaign. And this, according to Heather Mitchell, who is the ED for the TCC Foundation, the gifts will significantly enhance the opportunities TCC is able to offer its students in both academic and career programs. So kudos to our good friends at TCC. That's good for them. That's good for us. It's good for you and me because, as we know, all boats will float as that tide rises. So we're going to keep on rising our tide here, folks. You stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by pushtheenvelope.biz.
I'm Miriam Dady. Welcome to Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a wonderful guest for everyone to just tune your ear in the direction of the speaker right now, because Dr. Barbara Uccino, who is a psychologist here in Tallahassee, is hanging up a shingle and taking patients here. You've been counseling people for a long time, though, haven't you, Barbara? Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. I spent a couple of years working at FSU's Counseling Center, working with college students, and then been working the past 6 years working at the Department of Veteran Affairs, working with veterans, providing counseling therapy to veterans. But yes, I've decided to embark this new adventure for myself and start a private practice.
Wonderful.
Leaving the VA and just kind of doing this on my own, and let's see how it goes. So I'm really excited. This is a good time in my career to do this.
I know with veterans, you probably deal a lot with post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Going into private practice, what are you looking forward to? What is really your strong suit?
You know, it could be anything from somebody just needing to vent, needing a outside objective person to talk about everyday stressors, whether it's, you know, stress at work, stress in family relationship. Again, there's just something really powerful about being able to talk to somebody who you know is not judgmental, somebody who will give you an honest perspective, objective perspective on things. You know, sometimes that people tell me that I ask a question that kind of prompts them to think of something in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, people with anxiety, having a hard time coping with the anxiety that's affecting their lives, whether it's at work again or family issues or at school, to depression. And I do also a lot of couples work, a lot of marital counseling, for any couples at any stage in their marital life.
And I can imagine, too, if you're in a position where you need somebody to talk to,
mm-hmm.
but there's this whole anxiety about, is this counselor going to judge me because I'm really weird, or maybe my deep, dark secret is very strange and I bet they've never heard of it before.
Right, right.
Does that put up a whole barrier for you to get past, even to get to the problem?
Sure. You know, and it takes time to build what we call a therapeutic relationship,
uh-huh.
for for the person to come in, start to get comfortable in the setting, getting to feel comfortable where their therapist, psychologist, me, and, you know, trying to start a conversation, like, hey, let's get to know each other, and then slowly, I mean, trust takes time to build.
Right.
But, you know, one thing with anybody who is a therapist, psychologist, we're really good at not judging.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the training, is
well,
just to be very...
It seems like a person has to be somewhat healthy to feel free to talk to you.
Right. Well, and just, you know, sometimes, like I tell people, you have to take that leap of faith.
Right.
Right. Whatever they've been doing all this time has not been working for them. Mm. And so they have to believe that maybe doing something different than their comfort level is, you know, has allowed them to do will work out really well. And like I said, sometimes talking to somebody outside of their immediate family or mm-hmm. friends can be really helpful, really powerful.
What would you say, since everyone, and I'm going to assume that everybody listening too, everybody gets blue, right?
Absolutely.
We all have our ups and downs.
Absolutely.
What would be an indication that somebody needs help getting out of that?
Yeah, you know, and exactly, that's true. Life, everybody has its ups and downs. Sometimes we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But when all of a sudden, you know, you have more days that are down than are up, if you're starting to feel like you've lost energy or lost motivation in doing the things you used to be doing, or even just losing the pleasure in doing the things you used to enjoy doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you were an avid biker and all of a sudden you don't feel like going out on your bike, you know, that might be an indication that this could be depression.
I gotcha.
So this kind of just blahness where you don't have the motivation, don't have desire, don't feel pleasure in doing all those things you used to enjoy doing, and just kind of feeling down and low, and oftentimes people think depression, that means, oh, the person's got to be crying. Well, not necessarily, you know.
Right.
Depression looks different for everybody, especially for men. We're in a society where it doesn't condone men crying, right? And
right.
So men learn not to cry, and just because a man is not crying doesn't mean that they're not experiencing depression. They
yeah.
could be very depressed, but you might see in the fact that they're not going out with their buddies, or they're maybe a little bit more irritable. You know, it might manifest itself as more irritability.
What is your expertise?
I'll see individuals who are, like I said, depressed, anxious, but I have a master's in marriage and family therapy, and my passion has always been working with couples.
Mm-hmm.
And because I work with couples, oftentimes sexual issues come up. And so I do have a certificate in sexual therapy, which means just dealing with sexual issues in the therapy session.
Sure.
You know, maybe it could be anywhere from one of them had sexual trauma, and so that affects their sexual satisfaction with their partner, all the way to maybe one of them has a medical condition that affects their sexual response.
Yeah. And then there's so much guilt associated
exactly.
with that, and shame, and they
exactly.
don't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
So that's you're a safe place.
Yes. And, you know, also with the sex therapy being trained in dealing with LGBTQ issues,
sure.
Coming out issues, or just trying to figure out, you know, that could be a really tricky part of somebody's life to try to, you know, explore those.
How long have you lived in this area?
In Tallahassee, it's been 8 years.
8 years?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. And your clients are Leon County,
you know,
Wakulla, where?
Yeah,
Gadsden
I mean,
County?
Mostly Leon, but I do, because I'm trilingual, I speak Spanish fluently, I do have some people who are traveling to come and see me, because it seems like I'm the only or one of the few Spanish-speaking psychologists in quite a big area, so I have people
coming.
So you
speak Spanish,
yes,
English,
French.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is so important with two universities in Tallahassee.
Right.
Because kids are coming from everywhere.
That's right.
To go to school here, and
that's
they're
right.
isolated.
That's right. And so there is an acculturation process
mm-hmm.
Or adjustment process, so I can help with those issues as well.
I wish we had more time to explore it, and we don't. We're pretty much out of time, but thank you, Dr. Uchina, for going over just those, touching on those topics. How can people reach you if they want to find out more information?
Sure, I have a website. You can always go to www.tallypsychologist.com. So that's TALLY psychologist.com. And my contact information is on there. You can call me, you can email me through the website. And, you know, I'd be happy if you have any questions or if you need a referral to somebody else. Like I said, I share the office with other psychologists. So if I'm not the right person for you, I'm happy to send a referral to the right person. I'm very passionate about mental health. And, you know, if I'm not the right person for you, that is fine. Yeah, I just want to put you on the right path for you to seek your mental health.
That's so great to hear. And I know there are a lot of people out there that are hurting
and
need your help. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This was fun.
I love talking to you. And thank you all for joining us for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I'm Miriam Dady.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there again, my friend. Here we are in the first hour of this here fine radio show, talking with the lovely, the creative.
Oh, here we go.
The effervescent, the delightful Vincent Hunt. How are you, sir?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Yep.
Do I look good?
You always look good.
For 61 years old,
I can't even believe it. But I can't even believe it, though.
And spending the dime.
See, I think you're a storyteller. Here we go.
So with that, we're going to talk about Creators Camp.
Yeah.
You are this annoyingly creative man who just won't give up. Don't stop, do you?
Not at all.
Driving me nuts, man. Every time I turn around, you got a new thing going down. And now we're talking Creators Camp. And for folks who may not yet know what's going on with this guy, great opportunity. Tallahassee Family Magazine. You did this article about the Second Industrial Revolution.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about that. I know we're going to talk Creators Camp, but I want to know more. What is the Second Industrial Revolution you're talking about?
The Second Industrial Revolution, because right now what you have is a big conversation that's going on. You've got IBM. You've got some really, really big players talking about, you know, what is the future of industry as it pertains to how are we making things, manufacturing.
Right.
And because of all the access that we have and the connectivity that we have, the future factory, if we can talk about the future factory.
Yeah.
If you can imagine being at home, right, I'm going to give you an example of this. If you can imagine being at home and you say, okay, I want to buy a new car. Instead of that car being something that's already made and you're just ordering it online, what if you could actually build that car in real time at home and it's being built in a factory somewhere in real time? We're starting to close that gap. That's becoming very, very real. So the future of industry, right, is just going to look fundamentally different than it did for the person.
We're not stockpiling and warehousing.
We're building
on demand.
Building on demand, which, of course, we all know, you know, in industry, that reduces costs, you know, makes more access. I think it becomes very interesting. But now here's the big caveat to that. Here's the big piece. What does that do to skills, future skills? So it goes back to my big argument about, okay, yeah, we need to put coding in school. Well, in context, that's almost like we're just giving kids wrenches, right? Because they'll be the future factory worker, right? If you can just punch out code, that's cool. But so I lean back towards this idea that if we don't really, really up the ante as it pertains to helping young people understand their creative intelligence, they'll basically just be, you know, controllers of the wrench. When I need them to be the ones to actually create the fresh new ideas that the wrenches are applied to.
And in that capacity, it does make sense. Creators Camp was born with that intention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. To make more makers versus consumers. That's the big goal.
This notion that young people are brought together in a way with other creators and mentors.
Yep.
I think you call them cohorts.
Well, cohorts are where the kids are connected. And then when you think about their mentors and leaders, luminaries. Absolutely.
See, okay, I've got to get all these terms straight.
There's 100 of them, Brian. You'll never get them all.
You're just wearing me out, man.
I got to keep you on your toes.
I have limited brain power here. I have bandwidth that is so narrow.
I think you're getting it.
Comcast has more bandwidth than I have.
Okay, I think you're getting, brother.
Folks, we're talking to Vincent Hunt here on this lovely opportunity to talk about Creators Camp. Cohorts, then, are those who do what? What are cohorts?
Okay, a cohort is a group of kids, right? A cohort is made up of 10 kids. Hmm. What we're finding is because we're growing, right, we have to find a way to make sure that the customization of our programming, right, the touch, the intimacy of what we do remains. Hmm. So what we started to deploy is the idea of a cohort. So you'll have Alpha cohort, 10 kids, Bravo cohort, 10 kids. And what stands over them, right, are cohort builders. They're kind of like coaches or guides that help those 10 kids navigate this learning ecosystem that we call Creators Camp.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So if we put ourselves in those shoes, it would be you, the listener, with a leader called a cohort builder that help guide you through this learning ecosystem called Creators Camp.
And in that learning ecosystem,
yes, sir,
your primary concern is that I better discover, maybe for the first time, how I am put together, how I'm wired, where my creative juices run,
That's goal number one. Like, the quicker we can get to that place,
is it too late
the
for
better.
Me to be
Man,
in
it's
that,
way too late. No, I'm just playing. It's never too late. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, when I would deal with corporate clients, and I think we've talked about this in the past.
Yes.
You know, I would sit with C-level executives, and I'd ask them, you know, what's your passion? What is the thing that you love to do? Some of them would be brought to tears. Some of them would be surprised, right, and say, I've never been asked that. I've been doing this job for 15 years, and nobody's asked that.
I'm getting a little misty myself. Right.
Oh, here you go. But you're doing what you're designed to do. And I think that when people find what they're designed to do, right, then they can operate at a much higher level. They can really ascertain the things and the dreams and the things that they want to accomplish by just going there quickly.
In sincerity, I will say that it took me a number of years to make that trek.
Usually
and
does.
And if I'd had somebody like you around when I was in my teens, I don't know, maybe I just wouldn't have wasted so much time on stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Maybe all that had to happen so that I could be here talking with these fine people.
I think that's the easy thing to say. But I think that's a notion that we need to start to trump. Like, if you think about it, if you're designed
That's just the way it was meant to be. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, it was meant that you go 30 years of your life not knowing what you're designed to do.
Right.
Like, I just don't think that that's like
Where's
an
the
evil,
logic there?
There's an evil plan, right?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, and we've talked about a kid's operating system in the past, and if I can compare a kid to a computer, right, they've got all this software, you know, software, hardware, if you call it that.
Yeah, yeah.
Pre-installed before they're even born. They have courage. Yep. They have tenacity. Those little jokes.
Curiosity
out the wazoo,
baby.
Right, on level 10. They come with all this awesome stuff, right? But our divine creator, I don't think the one piece of software that they don't come pre-installed with is context software. Because he gave them two parents. They're context. So if I'm watching a kid and they're playing in the dirt, I can't just look at him as just playing in the dirt because I'm context software.
Yeah.
What does playing in the dirt mean? The love of plants, what does that mean? To a kid, they have no clue. They have one word, play. To an adult, we have botany, horticulture, landscaping,
right?
So if we can just watch them and try to grab their DNA sooner than later and help guide and usher and push.
Because they have to fit into this world that we've created for them.
Yeah.
And we were, and it was created for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's this big word called uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
So part of their DNA may be a love for plants. Maybe it's botany. Mm-hmm. But then they have this huge technical side too. They love to program. Maybe what they're designed to be is something that we know not of in the future. Mm-hmm. A technically, you know, inclined person who understands plants, who helps us solve one of our greatest food shortages in the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you see? And we can't even anticipate that.
Nope.
Because we don't have the perspective to be able to see that person is going to be needed, or people like that person are going to be needed 20 years,
That's
10
provocative.
Years down the road. Yeah.
That's provocative, right?
It is.
But I think the idea...
So then your confidence has to be in the process.
Come on
now. You say, look, this is what I'm doing.
Yes.
And that uncertainty of where this is going to end up,
you got to be cool with that too.
We got to just relax there,
because
your focus is on the process and what you're doing with that group of
cohorts, those kids.
Absolutely, okay. My man. And so the thing about it is, like, when I'm working with kids, you know, it's a very intimate process. And I've learned that Creators Camp is not a standardization tool. Hmm. It's not a, you know, just throw information at them tool. It's a matter of getting very intimate with each child, asking them the tough questions, watching them, right?
Light that fire.
And once you see that fire, I've actually sat with parents and kids, and I told them this, Brian. I say, I have one role, right? And you got to get this quick. My job is to, one, find your DNA, pull it out, insulate it, protect it, because the world's going to try to take it from you, and build that. That's what I'm designed to do. And if it changes somewhere down the road, give you a high five, and let's pull it out, insulate it, and build it. Because the multiplicity of your skills may be what you need in the future, and I'm cool with that idea. Right?
Wow. I'm cool with this conversation of Vincent Hunt, who continues to challenge my limited intellectual ability. Doing my best here. Hang on now. And Creators Camp, I love the logo, too, when you talk about fire.
Yes, sir.
Your logo has that little campfire right there.
Come on.
And I'm seeing these kids all gathered around this cohort.
Yeah.
And then you got cohort builders. And we're going to introduce you to some cohort builders. We're going to take a quick break here. We've got Jamira. She's going to talk about her role in this. And Zaid, they are, in fact, cohort builders with our good buddy Vincent Hunt. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, the best dadgum radio show in Tallahassee.
I believe that.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with Vincent Hunt. The topic, as best I can comprehend it, is having something to do with Creators Camp.
Yes.
Which in and of itself defies us in some respects, because people like me, we love to categorize and, you know, put you in little pigeonholes. Oh, it's that.
Mm-hmm.
But Creators Camp itself is evolving. And
yes,
the whole process by which you're exploring individual development and this educational model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in the time that you've been at it,
three and a half years?
There's been some remarkable developments, and some remarkable people have come to your side.
Yes, sir.
In collectively putting this all together, making it work. We have a couple of those folks here. Jamira, how are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Zaid, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
So we have Zaid and Jamira, who are cohort builders. All right, Zaid, tell us what a cohort builder is.
So a cohort builder is basically someone who is granted the task of ushering these kids into themselves. So you have 10 kids that you would watch over and help them cultivate who they really are on the inside.
So in that way, kind of a team leader, kind of a moderator?
It would be, yes. It's your job to get to know the kids on an individual basis.
Yeah.
That way they don't feel drowned out in, you know, the way that sometimes you get in regular school where you have 20, 30 kids in the classroom with you. So it helps really to learn who the kids are, and they really feel that connection. I think that's really what the idea is to let let them be at home and feel like, you know, you're part of, you know, their family.
As this cohort forms, right, and these are students whose parents have said, hey, we want our kids involved in this program.
Yes.
The program itself runs for how many weeks?
It's year round.
Yeah, it never stops.
So they plug into this, and Zaid, you're there to say, hey, Bobby, Susie, Jerry, Larry, you guys are my my cohort.
Exactly.
And we're a thing. We're together.
Exactly.
For the year. Forever.
For as long as I can keep you.
As long as you.
Okay. As long as I can keep you.
So does that extend beyond the session? So these people absolutely. Have relationship wow.
yeah.
with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because what ends up happening is you'll start seeing their own growth start to manifest, and you want to continue to help them. I mean, you'll see them do things that it's just like, wow. If I was, you know, their age doing these things, I would want this to help me, and then you would offer that sort of support. And so one example the other day, there is a girl,
Kendall,
absolutely amazing what she can do with an iPad and a stylus. And my one of my personal passions is drawing and art and illustration. And so what happens is that, you know, you see her doing what she loves doing right there. And, you know, she's not even in an active expedition right now, but you want to help her, you know, get the right software, and you want to help her get, you know, the right tools and things like that, because what she can create already without any of these things is amazing. And so it's just like, okay, here's what we can do. Let's get you this app. Let's get you this stylus. Let's get you this, you know, frame of thinking, and just kind of push her in, and continue to help push her in the right direction, even behind the scenes.
And so, if you don't mind, like, I think that is an excellent example, because we see kids who are drawing on paper and pencil, and parents might not know the new advances that are being made in technology. Yeah. And, you know, iPads and iPods got a really bad rep at first, you know, because kids get it and they get access to the internet. But there's so many new applications that have come out. And Zaid, who I think another great point about cohort builders is that we are a little bit younger. We're very absorbed in today's culture. And so Zaid, being an artist, owns the iPad Pro, which allows him to create all kinds of digital renderings of drawings, his own drawings, and pull materials that, you know, you would either have to go to an art store to get.
Yeah.
They're all available. And Kendall, the first night, her mom went out and got it for her because, you know, the parents, they want to support their kids' passion. That's why they're here. And she created, I mean, I wish I could show it to you, but it was the most incredible drawing, like from the structure of the drawing to the color, like to the, you could see her passion.
That's amazing.
And it's something that she was able to just create on an iPad at any time because the resources were available.
It's remarkable. Yeah. How old is Kendall?
10, I believe.
Kendall's 10.
Yeah.
10?
10 years old.
I mean, it could have been straight from a new animated movie, what she created.
But this is what's really cool about Kendall, if I can chime in on that. Yeah. Like Kendall, when we first met Kendall at 10 years old, she's what we call full stack. So Kendall,
Full stack.
So, yeah, when we think about Creators Camp in the STEAM paradigm, science, technology, engineering, art, and math, Kendall is all five. So I can actually put
full
a cello.
Stack.
Yeah, I can put a cello in front of Kendall. She can play, you know, full thing for you. Or I can give her her iPad Pro and say, draw me, and she'll draw you. She could, if you give her a science challenge, she's going to eat it up. She's going to take it to the next level.
So she's multi-threat player kind of person.
Absolutely. So what do you do with a child like that, right?
Wow.
You encourage them. And if I drill in on any one thing, right, and show you the relationship of your one thing to the others, now you have a greater context.
Okay.
A greater context is where you start to find those answers and how you actually...
So like Zeta's going to be dissing me over here because like,
No. There's no dissing ever. There's never any dissing at all. No, not at all. I mean,
like, hey, all the other kids are doing all this stuff with iPad, and you're over there playing with your Mickey Mouse.
Absolutely not. If anything, the exposure, it's encouraging, and you get out there and you just do it. I mean, everybody just falls in line and just does whatever it is they like doing. There's never any judgment ever.
I think what's beautiful about it as well as cohort builders, and because we're talking about cohort builders, we're talking about Kindle, we're talking about single stack, right?
Yeah.
Like that one thing. We have probably one of the strongest luminary networks being built hands down in the country, and I'm real confident in that idea, where we actually pull professionals from all over the country into our ecosystem that we can reach out to. So if I run across a kid who's like bioengineering, I know nothing about bioengineering, I can reach into my luminary network and get a bioengineer and have that person talk to that child.
And you've done that. Repeatedly.
I've done that.
Yeah.
There was
The kid that was into tanks.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Good
oh my
example.
God. Yeah. You got Alexander who was into tanks, and now his school week is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Florida virtual. On Friday, he actually goes to a company and works with mechanical engineers building a tank from the ground up using 3D printing.
What, 16 now? 15, 16, something like that.
15? Yeah, he's 15 now. Lord, so I mean, he's a beast. We need to do more of that.
Well, you know what? I'm encouraged. But I do think of this. I think of the Walt Disneys of the world.
Yes.
I think of the creatives that we've seen in past generations.
Yes, sir.
how many Walt Disneys did we miss along the way?
That's my fear.
Here's the story about Disney. When he was told over and over again, you're a failure, you have no talent, he's doing murals on the side of his dad's barn.
Come on.
And his dad is like, what is wrong with you? Get out. Stop doing this.
Come on.
He could not stop doing this because he was Walt Disney. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of other Disney-like people, I'm certain,
that stopped.
That absolutely.
For some reason or another, didn't press through, couldn't get past. Mm-hmm. Disney did, and he celebrated, and he's made this amazing impact on American culture and the world.
Amen. Yeah.
I look at you and I go, you are the incubator of all of the Disneys.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
And all the Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That have yet to have been discovered.
Yes.
Folks, it's called Creators Camp. The creator of Creators Camp is with us, Vincent Hunt. His lovely cohort builders, Jamira.
Yep.
Thank you. And Zaid.
Thank
Zaid.
You.
Yes, sir.
Thank you both. Thank you all three for being
Thank
with us.
You.
Folks, stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny will continue right after this.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back with the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, carrying on in my moosey way with the very, very capable folks like Vincent Hunt with us in the first hour. And this young man who's about to join us, you're going to meet a guy named Mark Anthony Weeks. In keeping with our theme, I suppose, curiously enough, in today's show, we've been talking about innovators and innovation and the intersection of technologies and talent and vision, and on it goes. And if you hadn't noticed, in talking with Vincent and his cohort builders, there's certainly a rush of that kind of thinking going on among Creators Camp. Well, here comes Mark Anthony Weeks in his way, bringing innovation to a ongoing problem, and that has to do with the waste of food among restaurants that cannot sell food beyond a certain point that they've prepared for that day. Right. And so he looked at that and said, well, now wait a minute. What if we created an application that you could have on your phone that would notify you by way of a given restaurant posting such notification when a certain restaurant is offering items that will otherwise be discarded by the end of the day, but do so at a reduced price. So the consumer wins because they get to buy in, we'll say, on today's fare at a reduced price. Great. The restaurant benefits because they're not losing. They're having to throw away and at that point losing money on product. Right. Okay. And we might say at a very broad level, we all win because we're not wasting food. What's wrong with that? So this is a guy who says, hey, I think I could solve that problem with this innovative application. And he's in the business right now of raising funding. So he's created a Kickstarter account. He'll tell us about Kickstarter and how that works and how far he's been able to get going. He's only just gotten started. So you can learn about Mark Anthony Weeks. And then comes another Mark in our show. This is going to be Mark Russell. Mark Russell, who is a violinist, a musician, a performer, composer, Australian-born, Tallahassee resident for the last 10 years or so. Wow, what a magnificent talent he is. And, of course, it's part of our interest among those people who make this town work the way it does to take note of the local artists and musicians, and so much so that we created our own radio station. We call it Moose Magnificat. So if you go to moosemagnificat.com, you're going to hear local music from local musicians, their songs, all the time, 24/7. And that's a worldwide stage. And we're taking any and all who will bring us their recordings, and we play them. And so you can listen to Moose Magnificat on your tablet or your phone, your computer. And it's that simple, moosemagnificat.com, and you click on listen, and we got you. You're there. And we've mixed in some of the outtakes from our show, Tallahassee Talks, which we're doing just to kind of give you a little bit of variety. We're going to hone that down a bit and restrict to those interviews that we've done, conversations we've had with musicians. So that's coming. Right now it's kind of a mixed bag, okay? But bear with me, because the Moose, and I am the Moose, is getting his act together. And better understanding how we can better serve you, because that's really what this is about for us. We are here to make your life a little better, a bit more informed, better entertained. And in the process, we get to, you know, promote what Tallahassee is to the world. So Mark Russell will entertain us with some of his music. And he, in fact, is an innovator, another example of how technology and art have come together, because he uses a number of digital devices in his performances. He'll talk about that, this looping that he'll do. He actually composes, if you will, constructs, layers the work that he is performing for you on the fly. Yeah, it's a remarkable use of technology that affords him a great deal of spontaneity, creativity, sort of like watching, you know, a visual artist drawing out as you see this drawing coming into shape, coming into form, or painting on a canvas in front of you, and you begin to recognize the features of that painting. Well, that's what he does musically with his violin. And wow, just be ready, because you're going to get a good dose of Mark Russell. And I should also tell you, we've got a great opportunity coming up this week. Speaking of Moose, the Downtown Tallahassee Business Association, they're hosting a marvelous event, and this is, in fact, a candidate forum. So Downtown Tallahassee Business Association is hosting the candidate forum among those three candidates, Mark Early, Alan Williams, and Tina Pate, all of whom are running for supervisor of elections here in Leon County. We are going to be there live. Tallahassee Talks will be broadcasting live Thursday, May 26th on moosemagnificat.com. Our broadcast will start around 8 o'clock and continue through the entire event all the way till 9:30. You're going to hear from these three candidates. We'll have interviews with the good folks at Four Points by Sheraton, the marvelous host of this event. If you've not checked it out, Four Points by Sheraton is such a jewel in this community. And what a transformation they have made with that whole facility, long time known as the Round Hotel downtown. But that has come and gone, and what they have brought in its place is this amazing facility. The Sheraton is integrated into the community in very important ways, particularly with local families who are celebrating weddings and anniversaries and bar mitzvahs and confirmations and all kinds of ways in which this hotel is contributing to the people of Tallahassee and the business community. They, in fact, are members of this Downtown Business Association, and they support local business. And we're happy that they're going to be one of our principal sponsors for this broadcast. So we'll get to talk about them a little bit during that whole proceeding. And that is, in fact, happening next Thursday, starting around 8 o'clock, coming to you live from Four Points by Sheraton, Tallahassee, downtown. And it will be an opportunity for us to learn then about these three candidates and how critical, I should say, the role is, this business of being in the supervisor election. May not realize how significant that is to the way in which Tallahassee and Leon County does business. So these folks will be talking about the upcoming election, the local issues. It's a moderated discussion. And these local elections are really the best way for us to have impact on Tallahassee. And it's forums like this that give us opportunity to pause and consider. So happy to be able to bring you the broadcast brought to you in part by Four Points by Sheraton. Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard you're out on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In our segment 6 feature this week, we have Mark Anthony Weeks. He is an innovator, creator, implementer, and a guest here this morning. How are you, Mark?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Like the things you're doing. And you've got this neat little app. In keeping with our theme for today's show, we've got this thing called Happy App. Tell us about Happy App.
Essentially, it's a real-time coupon for restaurants to put out there via an app. If they have an overage in product, they'll be able to contact end users with this overage notice and be able to discount food that would otherwise be waste or that would soon to be turned into waste.
So I'm the restaurant manager, kitchen manager, whatever, and I've got today's offerings there that were unpurchased, right? And normally then I would just have to throw all that out. I'd have to discard all that.
Yeah, for quality assurance reasons, you'd have to get rid of all
that.
You
can't go any further than a certain time limit. Here comes Happy App that says, well, just put it out there on Happy App, and anybody who's subscribed to that app is going to get notified, hey, I got hot dogs here that I'm going to have to throw away, but if you can get to me within the next, 20 minutes or an hour or something, right?
Right.
Or by the end of the day. There we go. So you've solved a couple of problems, it seems to me. You've got the restaurant capitalizing on what otherwise would be just straight-up loss.
Right.
You've got hungry people who benefit because, gosh, they can buy this at a reduced price. It is a coupon opportunity, right? And you've cut into the whole business of wasted food. can't seem to find a problem with any of that. That all sounds good to me.
Yeah, it there's a lot of benefits there. Certainly getting that waste down to reduce down to zero is very beneficial to the business and the community, society as a whole, because nobody likes to waste food.
Where did this start for you? How did this come
to
you?
Well, I have if you string it all out, I have about 17 years in the food service business.
Okay.
And I have been pondering ways to do it. And then when I went back to school and I got my degree in management and information systems, I sort of gelled the two ideas together.
Ah.
And I then realized that, you know, it's capable, it's possible to do this with an app, and so why not do it, why not try it out? That's where it sort of originated from.
So with that idea, then you begin to apply your skills as a creator, particularly in building this app. Did you have help in building the app, or is this all self-driven?
It is an idea. The app itself isn't functional, or it's just an idea currently.
Okay.
I kicked it around with a few of my other food service friends, and I sort of modified it. It started out as sort of one thing, and then, you know, they made some valid points, and then it kind of morphed into what it is now. And this is like the refined product of what it is now.
Okay. So folks, if you're catching this, here you have this creative creator with Happy App that is yet in its formative stages, okay? And I've noticed too, Mark, that you went out with another rather innovative solution called Kickstarter. Tell us about Kickstarter. How does that work?
Well, Kickstarter is is what's known as a crowdfunding website. And in particular, if you were a young entrepreneur or creator, you would have to go to a bank and get financing for your idea. And with applications being as expensive as they are, it's doubtful that I would get a loan from a bank to fund this idea. And so what I do is, and what Kickstarter does is, you basically post your idea, your business strategy, your business plans. You can go to Kickstarter and go into the search and type in Happy App, and it'll pop right up, and you'll see the business plan that I have outlined there.
Very cool.
And, yeah.
I'm looking at it right now, folks. Here we have, you just go to Kickstarter, or if you Google Kickstarter, and then search Happy App, and that's H-A-P-I, right? Happy App by Mark Weeks. Here it is. And you've already got 6 backers.
Yes.
That's great. So your goal is to raise $25,000. You're well on your way. So I would encourage you all to take a look at this. You've got various levels. You can pledge as little as $10 or as much as $100 or more. And all of that money then goes how? Mark, where does the money go?
It goes to me for the sole purposes of investing into and making this a reality.
Bringing it about.
So
you're going to have to pay for that creation of the app, the programming time, and of course marketing of the app to various restaurateurs, as well as consumers like me who want to have this app on their phone.
Right.
What do you anticipate as sort of the time frame? So if you had the $25,000 in your hand right now, how much time would you need to implement, do you think?
I would estimate somewhere between 6 and 8 months of development time for the app. And then probably 3 to 4 months of marketing the app. The plan is to market it locally here in Tallahassee. I think Tallahassee is a great place to market this idea. There's a great many
different restaurants.
Yeah, and a lot of college students who will, I think, take advantage of this opportunity. So if it doesn't work here in Tallahassee, then...
Yeah, this is a good testing ground.
This is a great place
In fact, I'm reading from this Kickstarter page, and it says, first, many restaurants will be worried about the risk of selling food that is expired, of course. And while the Happy App is designed to sell the food before it reaches that point, some restaurants will not trust it. Speaking of trust, the restaurants will have to trust the MODs, the manager on duty, to make the right call on the product that is about to expire. So Part of this effort for you, I would think, in terms of marketing, is to establish that trust that this Happy app really does work and it will help solve this problem.
Right.
The restaurateur is going to have to recognize their responsibility in making a judgment call as to whether food should be offered even through the Happy app at this discounted price.
Yeah, and that's that problem is going to occur between the restaurateur and their managers that are on duty. They're going to have to trust them to make the right call on that product.
Yeah, but the upside of this, really, folks, I think is far outweighs what those risks might be or what sort of adjustments need to be made. And you can think of other disruptive examples, I suppose. The most well celebrated right now might be Uber or something like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking Uber off the bat.
The disruptors that come along. Well, here's a disruptive opportunity that really has a lot of upside to me.
Right.
And if you're able to invest $25 in something that could potentially make millions of dollars, that seems like a good investment.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it as a disruptor is, I think the idea is well known in the food service industry by a lot of people to, let's try to get, waste down and try to sell it. But it's always been like a standard rule that this is undoable. And I think that a lot of restaurants have never tried this before. And that's what I'm really trying to disrupt is that pattern, that thought that that there's nothing you can do about the wasted food. You have to get rid of it.
And now you've got a solution. Now you've got a solution in the making. It's called Happy App, H-A-P-I, Happy App. Find it at Kickstarter.com. Easy to do that. And the creator is with us this morning, Mark Anthony Weeks, our guest in segment 6. Mark, thanks for being with us.
All righty, thank you.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthAndWellness.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Well, it is part of our ongoing quest to bring to you the remarkable and very talented musicians that we are blessed to have among us. Mark Russell is one of those folks, not only for us locally, but across the globe, and he is our guest today. Mark Russell, how are you, sir?
G'day, Brian.
G'day to you, sir.
It's. I guess I've reached that stage in life where stuff I've done is known as history.
I'm right in there with you, my brother. We find ourselves looking a bit in the rearview mirror, do we not?
Right, at younger people looking askance when I talk about life before computers and all that sort of thing.
And you, my friend, musically have incorporated that digital world rather nicely, and we're going to get a few samplings from you here shortly, with the innovations that you're able to incorporate in your performance, which I guess is referred to as looping. For those who are uninitiated, tell us how this kind of works, I guess.
Right. Well, before I explain looping, I think an interesting thing is, my instrument is the violin.
Right, right.
And early days of jazz in the 20s and 30s, violins were actually pretty common. In fact, most saxophone players also doubled on violin.
Really?
In some bands, the violinist doubled on saxophone. Then, as music got louder and the venues got bigger and then the big band era came, violins really just started to disappear because we didn't have the volume, and it's very difficult to mic a violin. As a vocal performance, you can mic relatively easy. But because of the the sort of wonderful structure of the instrument itself, it would, it vibrates. It's a reverb machine, right? So when you play it into a microphone and try to turn it up loud, it's going to feed back on you. So that was really a problem. And then amplifying violins really became a problem. Having solid body violins wasn't really an answer because they kind of sound like kazoos. and so it's only sort of fairly recently that technology has reached a point where it can amplify a violin to the point where it's compete with electric guitars and drums and sound kind of decent. So
here we have the intersection of innovation, science, mechanics, and art and music all sort of ganging up.
The violin's making a comeback, baby.
Yeah, baby. And you have brought it to us in such a marvelous way with this process, I guess you call it, or a performance style of looping.
Right. So back to the looping. Looping is this wonderful method by which you can perform with yourself. So I perform a snippet of music, and then I record it as I'm playing it, and then it automatically plays back over and over again. Then I can layer another snippet of music, hopefully something that's complementary over the top of that, and then I can keep going. And of course, with the digital aspect of the violin, I can also plug into pedals that are made for guitar, and I can create a sound that's an octave lower, and I can create a sound that sounds like an electric violin or an electric guitar. I can create a sound that sounds more like a classical violin, so I can play some nice kind of background string sounds. I can kind of add it all together and create a whole thick soundscape.
So you're exploding the characteristics of this one instrument and your technical ability. And folks, for those who do not know his technical prowess, I can tell you, you're about to hear some of that. In fact, we've asked him to perform for us here today, and I believe we have this first song is called Willow. Tell us about Willow.
Willow, yes. Willow is one of my, I guess it's one of the first forays into looping. So it starts off with a strum on the instrument that creates the groove, and then I add a little bass, and then I add some strings, and then I came up with a melody, and it's one of my favorite things to perform. It's a piece I actually start most of my performances with.
Wow. So let's do it. We have Mark Russell and Willow. Thank you.
want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We have Mark Russell with more music. Two songs here. The first one is Five, and then we'll go right into another one called Resonance. Mark Russell. Thank you. That's what I've got for you this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all that Tallahassee is talking about this week. We're the production of Alcom Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of MooseMagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.